And Ben and Ruth had an anniversary Wednesday, was not? Is that correct? Amen. Congratulations. Amen. 54. Huh? No, 54. Man, she's put up with you a long time, Ben. Oh, okay. Praise God. I'm not going to do that for mine. We'll go someplace else. Anyway, praise God. Wanda? What? Well, that's usually where we are. We're usually shearing on our anniversary. And I'll tell you the story. Can I tell you a story on Nan? This was years ago, but most of the times, this was when we had a lot of sheep and goats. We were always shearing on our anniversary. That day, late that afternoon, I remembered it was our anniversary. And she forgot about it. We were so busy, she forgot about it. So usually it's the husbands that forget. I made a point. one time, yeah. But anyway, because I've never let her live that down, you know. I remembered and she didn't, so praise God. Wanda, would you read 1 Colossians, verse 13 through 15?
He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have his blood, the forgiveness of sins. He is the firstborn over all creation. Where am I? Oh, there. From all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him.
Now I want Wanda to read that same scripture in the Message Bible. She was reading it to me earlier it's
God rescued us from the deep, God rescued us from the dead end alleys and dark dungeons. He set us up in the kingdom of the Son he loves so much. The Son who got us out of the pit we were in and got rid of the sins we were doomed to keep repeating. We look at this Son and see the God who cannot be seen. We look at this Son and see God's original purpose in everything created, for everything, absolutely everything, above and below, visible and invisible, rank after rank after rank of angels. Everything God started in him and finds its purpose in him. He was there before any of it came into existence and holds it all together right up to this moment.
Amen. In verse 13, it says, he has, in the New King James, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. In the Message, it said it. In the New American Standard, it says, and he rescued us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. So we see that deliverance or rescue is a specific, personal, deliberate expedition where God catches us and draws to him, to himself, us in order to accomplish his will. Praise God, he rescues us, delivers us to accomplish his will. How do you know when you've been delivered or rescued? You feel pulled. You feel the pull. You will find yourself compelled to know him. You feel empty without him. You're anxious to learn of him, and you're ready to serve him. That's some of the ways you know when you've been rescued and you've been delivered. You'll recognize the separation from your old life. You'll be pulled away from those things that used to be attractive. You'll be a fish out of water, leaving the old polluted and discovering a new way of life. Praise God. When God does that, you're leaved old. You're gone out of the polluted cesspool, and you discovered a new way of life. Have you noticed a change? Do you feel caught by God? If you do, that's deliverance. That's being rescued. And it says that we've been delivered from the power of darkness, or the domain of darkness. Where were you when God delivered you? According to Paul, you and I were in the domain of darkness. In the Greek, it says not just domain, but the authority of darkness. Darkness takes ownership wherever the powers that oppose God are given authority. Darkness is everywhere God does not rule, even in our own house. Ouch. If the kingdom of heaven is the reign and rule of God in the hearts and minds of men, what do you suppose the dominion of darkness is? It's the reign and rule of the enemy in the lives of men and women. It's the tares among the wheat, the leaven in the dough. It's everywhere, but it was never a place. You can't go put in Google Map, you don't find the darkness, the domain of darkness, but it's everywhere. Domain is a word about control. When you say domain, it's control. The question is not where you live, but rather whose authority you serve. Let's really look at what about authority. It means the power, the ability, the strength, and permission to do something. Authority is a byproduct of choice. God granted each one of us authority the day we were born. The only question in our life is this: will we give our birth authority back to him so that his authority rules our lives? That's the question. Those who retain their birth authority align themselves with the domain of darkness. We need to stop, and we just need to think about people that say, we're going to do it our way. We're going to do the way we want to do it. What are we doing? The Word says we're aligning ourselves with the domain of darkness. The authority of darkness is the power and permission to act in opposition to the will of God. The authority of darkness. You don't have to be a terrible person. I mean, we just think sometimes that just the bad people are rule or in the kingdom of darkness. You don't have to be a terrible person. You don't have to be a criminal or an atheist to belong to the domain of darkness, the authority of darkness. All you have to do is decide for yourself. If God is not leading, then you're not under His authority. It's really kind of simple. If God is not leading, you're not under His authority. One way we can know that is, do we obey the Word of God? Do we follow what God says? You know, I get to thinking about and study, if God's not leading, you're not under His authority. How many people in our nation, how many of our leaders today in our nation are not following God's way? So basically, according to what this scripture says, this teaching says, where are they? They're leading in the domain of darkness. Huh? Rebellion, yeah. So it's kind of, you know, okay, where are we? Did you notice that Paul says we are delivered? We're rescued. Praise God, we're delivered. We're rescued from the authority of darkness. God's purpose is to get you out of darkness so that you can operate in the light. He wants you to see what you're doing. Not be blind to your own actions. We should put the right level on the domain of darkness. It is blind authority. The domain of darkness is blind authority. You might think that you're making your own choices, and that's the way to do it. The world's management system today certainly advocates that approach. Do what you want to do. Make your own choices. Have your own way. I did it my way. Remember that song? I did it my way. Yeah, well, you do it your way, and you're doing it in the domain of darkness. But God doesn't. Since He knows much more than you do, His will is perfect. He asks you to let Him take charge. That's all He wants you to do. All He asks of you. When he rescues you, when He delivers you out of the domain of darkness, He says, let me take charge. You can be delivered from the tyranny of living blind to the truth. But you'll have to give up running the show. If you want to do it God's way, you're going to have to give up running the show. It says in the Word of God, no man can serve two masters. There's no way to serve two masters. In the Bible, this kind of authority is always granted to someone. It's never earned. Your authority rests on the will of the one you serve. He gives you authority. He gives you His authority. He gives you His will. He leads you and guides you when you give yourself to Him, when you're rescued. He delivered us from the domain of darkness and conveyed, it says in verse 13, transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son. The Greek verb, which is a combination of change of place and to stand in a change of place, is the sense of it. But notice that while we have moved, we never went anywhere. God transported us from the domain of darkness to the kingdom of light without so much as taking a single step. Kind of interesting. If you've changed places without moving, you might think that everything still looks the same. We're right, but we're wrong. Everything looks the same, but nothing remains of the old view. When God pulls you and transfers you, everything looks different. You're still in the same family, the same neighborhood, the same country. You still have the same spouse, live in the same house, have the same job, and the same car. But basically, you've left it all behind. What comes over you is a new perspective of all those old familiar places. When we're transferred, we have a new perspective. You were moved to a new dimension where the kingdom of Jesus reorients the rest of your world. You see things as they really are. You see things like they really are. It means that if you've been transferred, your old way of acting, thinking, feeling begins to be a bit uncomfortable. You remember? Your vision, objectives, motives, and hopes are all skewed. They're all different. Your friends might come to you and say, "Don't worry." Did this happen to you when you came to know the Lord? When you came out of the kingdom of darkness? Don't worry, someday you'll be back to normal. But you know it isn't true. Normal moved with you. Normal is walking with the Lord. Amen? Normal is being Lord. If you think you've been transferred because someone told you to say a prayer or join a congregation, but you don't notice a kind of mental or moral ill-being about the way things used to be, then you probably haven't been transferred. If you don't notice the change, if you don't notice things are different, you probably haven't been transferred. No one can enter the kingdom without being transferred. You cannot enter the kingdom of God without being rescued or transferred. Every citizen of the kingdom knows he doesn't seem to fit into the world's pattern. It's very strange sometimes when you say, "Man, I just don't fit in this. I'm not going along with that. I can't accept that." I mean, there's some things that, well, never mind, I better not meddle. You know, I can get into things about, even in the churches, things are changing, amen? The wrong way sometimes. In verse 15, "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation." Image. How can anything be an image of what is invisible? You know, it says he is the image of the invisible God. What would it take to be a representation of something that cannot be seen? Take a picture of an invisible being. What will you see? Nothing. Nothing. So how can Paul tell us that Jesus is the image of something we cannot see? We no longer use the word image as it was originally meant. Today, an image is merely a representation. Just as a photograph, merely a representation of real objects it portrays. A blueprint is a representation. But in the Greek word icon for is what was translated image, is distinct from the Greek word that we translate representation. An icon, not only represents the original, it is taken from the original. Therefore, a son can be the image or the icon of the Father because the son is generated by the Father. You follow me? You see where the difference? Your face in the mirror can be an image or an icon, the Greek word, of you because the image comes from you. But where there is a resemblance, there's not always an image. Jesus is the icon or the image of the Father. That means he not only represents the Father, but he also comes from the Father. Who he is drawn directly from the invisible Father. Therefore, when you see Jesus, you see more than a representation of the invisible God. You see God. You see for the first time the revealed physical essence of the Father in human form. The way to think about this is, you know, most of the Bible is about God in audio. God speaks, we listen and obey. God revealed himself through the spoken word in the Old Testament. But when Jesus arrives, God shows up in video. Suddenly I can see exactly what the Father was talking about all along. I can see God through the image, Jesus, because Jesus comes from the Father and is a full disclosure of what God wants to show me. Praise God. Jesus is the full disclosure of what God wants to show me. The invisible God arrives in the invisible man. Thank you, Jesus. Just think of it this way. Jesus asked us to be his images, icon, from him. Remember, the Greek word icon comes from. Come from. We're not to only represent him, but we're also to emanate from him. We're to emanate from him. You can't be an icon, an image, unless you have a direct relationship with the prototype. You've got to have a relationship with Jesus. You've got to have a relationship. And how do you have a relationship? You ask him to come in. You give him your life. Amen? You ask him to come in. Take your life. Be a part of me. Take my life. I give you my life. In that, we confess our sins and he takes them and we walk in forgiveness. All things are now new. So we have to be in a relationship before we can be an image, emanate from him. Amen? That means you and I cannot fulfill his commandment to be like him unless there's a lot more than just mere representation. We just can't be in representation. We've got to be. We got to let him live in our lives. Live in us. Unless you're born from above, says Jesus. What does it say in John 3:3? Born again. If you're not born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. I mean, you can't even see it. There's only one way to have the direct connection needed to be a spiritual image. So we need to look at ourselves. We need to take stock of ourselves. Are we merely representing Jesus? Or are we directly connected? You know, something we need to think about. Are we the visible image of the invisible Christ? That's a question. We individually have to answer that ourselves. Are you the visible icon or image of the invisible Christ? As one commentary said, don't tell me, show me. Don't tell me, show me. It's just like, okay, I'm going to obey God, and then we don't do it. So we're not obeying God, amen? So we need to, as we close this morning, we need to stop, and we need to think. Are we merely just representing Jesus? Or are we directly connected to Him? And we're the image of the invisible Christ. Amen. Father, we thank You and we magnify You. Lord, as we just come this morning and we just ask that You speak to each one of us. Lord, we ask, are we the image of the invisible Christ? Lord, we just ask that You minister to each one here this morning. Show us, show each one of us. Lord, that we will show others and let other people see Jesus. That we will be the image of the invisible Christ. And we thank You and we magnify You and we glorify You. Thank You, Jesus, for what You're doing in our lives. Thank You, Lord, that You have transferred us. You have rescued us out of the cesspool. You have rescued us from the old way of life. And Lord, we just give You our lives this morning. Lord, we just, each of us just say again, thank You, Lord, for rescuing me. Thank You for pulling me out. Lord, even though I'm in, live in the same family, the same town, drive the same car, I'm different. I'm different, Lord, because You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And Lord, it's Your authority. Lord, we're out of the kingdom of darkness. And we thank You and we magnify. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. Praise God.